Greetings, my wonderful friends, and welcome to the AddedSouls.com podcast, powered by the Spencer Church of Christ in Spencer, Wisconsin. Stefan Maillet here, your audio and video servant for this episode, this session titled, Unexpected Return. Unexpected Return. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 27 will be the insight and the accuracy of the scriptures we find ourselves in this day. The context is simple. Christ had been crucified on the Friday, his body in the tomb on the Saturday, and became the firstborn of the dead on the first day of the week, Sunday. Isn't that wonderful? And behold, verse 13, Luke chapter 24, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs, two souls, okay? One named Cleopas, which we will see revealed later on, and the other remained unnamed, both walking towards a village called Emmaus, which was approximately 7 miles from Jerusalem, where the crucifixion of Christ and all the events had taken place, shocking to the community, no doubt. And these two souls talked together of all these things which had happened. Verse 14, Luke chapter 24. Now, you can just imagine the stir that had been created from this most horrific and revealing moment in their lives. It's not something you soon forget, right? The reputation and witness of Jesus the Nazarene was well known and documented, soon to be recorded, historically written by the prophets, and for all who loved him and believed him, felt devastated that he was dead, gone, along with all the promises of his coming kingdom. I mean, think of it. His people had been given hope of freedom, and now he's left them, so it seemed, right? They must have been reasoning with, where's our friend? Where'd he go? Our master, his love, his courage, his support, his power, his promises. What are we going to do? We're all lost all over again. I mean, what just took place here? What just happened? What is going to become of us? How can we make sense of this? Is must have been certainly going through their minds. And in verse 15, and it came to pass that while these two souls communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Quite a revealing at this moment here how Christ decided to return in communication amidst these two walking souls. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him, verse 16 reveals. They couldn't recognize him yet. Their eyes had been miraculously prevented from knowing his identity. There's a purpose behind this. And in verse 17, he said unto them, Jesus speaking to them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Now, Christ knew exactly what was going on and what they were talking about, but for the benefit of mankind and their lack of faith in this instance and account, needing to be rebuked, of course, he proceeds to inquire of them some information. Basically, what are you guys talking about? What are you guys so sad for? And in verse 18, the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to Jesus, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Man, are you the only guy visiting Jerusalem who has no clue of what's taken place these few days? Man, where are you from? The moon? Now, this certainly gives us insight into the accuracy of the day, how people most certainly knew of Jesus and what had happened. I mean, Jesus was public with his ministry. He lived open to the world and died the same way, very public. And so people knew who he was, both those who loved him and, of course, those who hated him. And so in verse 19, Jesus says to these two souls, what things? What things? I mean, what are you talking about? Explain to me what you think you know about these events. And they said unto him, these two souls speaking to Jesus, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. I mean, this man was strong. He was a prophet, and his works, the things he'd do, and his words, the things he'd say, were most powerful. And all this from a man from Nazareth? I mean, it's a pretty big deal. This Jesus was very public with his ministry, and it was seen before God the Father and everyone everywhere. This was not an isolated and quiet man or event. And so in verse 20, I mean, the chief priest and our rulers, I mean, the Jews, delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. I mean, our own people, his own people, the house of Israel, put him to death. They falsely accused him and murdered him on a Roman cross of all things. Very shameful and violent. I mean, it's the worst. And in verse 21, I mean, we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. These two men are speaking to this person whom they do not yet recognize as Jesus. I mean, we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. I mean, this Jesus was supposed to bring down the Roman government in their perception, build a kingdom, and we'd be free from the Gentile bondage. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Not only has the word of these events had the time to go around, if you will, nothing changed since Friday when he was murdered. And so we're sad. We're sad it's all over. But then certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, the tomb, in verse 22. And now these women surprised us. They were the first to go to the tomb in the morning. They were saying things that couldn't be right. It just couldn't be. I mean, in verse 23, I mean, these women said they found not his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of messengers which said that Jesus was alive. And even some of them who were with us went to the sepulchre, the tomb, and found it even so as the woman had said. But him they saw not. We simply don't understand. Where did they put his body? Why is this happening? I mean, we saw him die. He was buried. This makes no sense whatsoever. Then Jesus said to them in verse 25, while they still didn't recognize him, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You're not thinking right. You're not reasoning properly, Jesus is saying. Your mindless and misguided ways are not productive, Jesus is declaring and rebuking. You've not been reading the Bible in order to rightly divide it. You've not been studying it with the right kind of heart. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 26, don't you see that the Bible had been trying to tell you that the Messiah, the anointed one, the coming king, had to suffer these things? Are you so foolish that you can't understand the spiritual benefit to your soul would come with my death, burial, and resurrection? If I didn't die, you would have no way to live. And so in verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus gave them book, chapter, and verse. He rightly divided the scriptures so as to teach them everything they should have known by now. Friends, pay attention. Can we find ourselves guilty of the same this very day in the Christian age? Christians who have access to the information of the Bible, inspired instruction and testament, the perfect law of liberty, yet no understanding of his return, no urgency in our faith, no readiness in our actions, no belief in our hearts. It is my honest, sincere, and genuine study of the Word which reveals a similar outcome on the day our Master returns in the sky to bring his faithful home. That's right, the day of judgment. Many fools will be lost because of their lack of faith, lack of believing and obeying the words of the Bible. The very words that judge mankind now and on that day. A judge for the one who rejects Jesus and does not accept his words in the Bible. The very words he spoke will condemn these fools at the last day. John chapter 12, verse 48, as reference. Why? Well, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. Romans 10, 17. And so if you don't know the words of Christ, you don't have faith. And if you don't have faith, you can't be saved by grace. These people should have trusted him. They had centuries of prophets, men of God, to rely on. They had the Bible. They had the ministry of Christ, who of their own acknowledgement came with signs and wonders. They had everything they needed to expect his return. They should have known that he would defeat death, that he had to die, but that things would be okay. He was going to accomplish, fulfill all the prophets. Instead, they resorted to uncertainty, doubt, fear, loss, unbelief, faithless foolishness. We today have all the evidence we need. And so everyone who rejects the evidence and refuses to believe is a fool. Dead man walking, headed towards an eternal punishment. Unprepared for an unexpected return. Friends, we need to be expecting his return. We need to be prepared. Are we reading the scriptures, rightly dividing them of his return and how it shall come to pass, of our faith on this earth and how we should walk and talk and think and give the plan of salvation? Have we perverted the plan of salvation from God? Have we skewed and perverted the form in which he wants us to worship him? Friends, we need to abide by the obedience of gospel truth and command found in the scriptures. We must worship God in spirit and truth with the right kind of mind, doing it the right kind of way, the doctrine of Christ. Friends, we need to live according to those things. We need to be benevolent, loving, kind, strong, courageous, public. We need to evangelize. We must not forsake the assembly. We must be citizens of the kingdom of God, the church of Christ, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, the church that he built, the only church that he built, that abides by his law, the law of grace, the New Testament. Friends, are we ready? Are we expecting? Are we eagerly awaiting his return so that he can bring us home? Or are we going to be caught off guard, judged as foolish, unexpected? May we be wise in these times. May we be wise with our souls. Jesus Christ loves us. God the Father loves us. He loved us so much he sent his only begotten Son, only one and unique Son, to die on that cruel cross, so that whoever would believe in him would not need to perish eternally, but would have eternal life. In the presence of God the Father, our Master Jesus Christ, and his Spirit, and in his presence and power forevermore. What a beautiful thing. What a peaceful thing. May we be ready for that day. May we expect it. Stefan Mayer here, your audio and video servant for this podcast session. We are the AddedSouls.com podcast, powered by the Spencer Church of Christ in Wisconsin. Stay positive, stay focused. We shall most certainly meet here again next time, Lord willing. God bless.